Welcome to the Creative Entrepreneur Show. Hey, Brian, what do we have this week?
Well, Ross, this week I'm talking about spam, and I don't mean that tasty, salty, canned ham. I'm talking about spam on Facebook and spam in your email.
Oh, wow. This week, I'm going to talk about testing. I'm also going to talk about a promise broken from a technology that looked very promising and will provide opportunity, but for creatives, this is kind of bad news, at least for now. And then lastly, I have a place for you to put your business that you probably haven't thought about. It's obvious, but you may not be there or have done anything about it. So we'll talk a little bit about that. I think it'll be a helpful SEO idea.
Great. And then I've got a question for you at the end. I assume you've got a hidden one waiting for me.
Yes, I do. Absolutely. So why don't you go out? Why don't you move forward with your first topic? What do you got?
Okay. All right. So what's been going on a lot lately, and, you know, at Great Scott Social Media, we handle 60, 70, you know, different clients on Facebook. And I have noticed in the last couple weeks, a huge amount of spam messages, spam check-ins, and all sorts of attempts at spam across all the different ways to communicate with businesses on Facebook. So What's going on here is there are a lot of fake Facebook pages being named Meta Business Support, or they're being named things like your page has been reported. And, you know, one of the great things about Facebook for a business is that almost anybody can send a business a message, or they can check in, or they can reply to a post. And what has happened is the spammers have taken advantage of that. You know, one of the big things with all of our clients is we want to get messages from people who are interested in the product or service. So we'll obviously never shut down the inbox against new messages. So, our inbox now are getting, you know, inundated with these messages saying like your advertising has been shut down or your page is shut down. Click this link to resolve it. And all of these links are fake phishing links. So, you know, whether they're coming from cloned accounts or different things, these scammers are getting really clever. And their main goal is to get your attention and make you think you're in some sort of trouble in your page, but all they really want you to do is click on that link and get back to their third-party website. I have read that there are scammers right now making millions a year just by posting these fake links. Yeah, so it's become a much more prevalent issue, I'd say, over the past month or two. Do I think maybe some people are taking advantage of AI technology and setting up, you know, their own AI to create these accounts and automatically send these phishing messages? Yeah, I think that we're starting to see some of the negative side of that. So, you know, my advice on the social media side is when you do get these messages, there is an option to not just delete these messages, but to mark them as spam. And definitely we need to be doing that proactively on the page ownership side to let Facebook know that these pages are out there and that they're spam pages. So that way they can go through with their filters and shut these pages down. You know, anybody can start a Facebook page and start a business page. X is actually trying to prevent this by requiring everybody to do ID verification when you start a page. And Facebook doesn't do that yet. I mean, once you get to a certain level with your page to advertise and do different things, then you do require, or Facebook does require that two-stage authentication. But to just start a business page, there's no verification needed. So there has been just a huge explosion of these fake scamming pages. Some of the other ways that they're doing this, there are accounts that are being cloned. So sometimes you'll get a friend request from somebody whom you're already friends with.
And they've been doing that for a while. That's something that's been going on. Yeah.
So that's in a little more old school way about it. Some of the other ways, there's giveaway scams, there's fundraiser scams. So sometimes on like a group page for, you know, for example, I live in Farmington Hills, Michigan. I follow a page called All Things Farmington, and there's messages that sometimes come in about, you know, a dog who got hit or something, and go visit this website for a GoFundMe or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, right.
And they're pulling at people's heartstrings to try to get, you know, these people back. So people back to these third-party websites. And oftentimes, you know, the URL will be hidden behind like a bit.ly shortened URL, so you can't even tell it's a fake one. So we really need to be proactive of, you know, having our guard up against these scammers. You know, oftentimes on Facebook, if something seems too good to be true, it is. So this is, you know, just that classic thing in life. But we're seeing it a lot more now on Facebook, to the point where, you know, we've actually sent an internal newsletter to all of our clients saying, hey, disregard these messages. Also, we published a blog on greatscottsocialmedia.com, you know, just showing some examples of these and just giving some more information and advice. So we're seeing it a lot. We definitely don't want any of our listeners, any younger creative entrepreneurs who are just struggling getting their message out, to fall prey to these scamming efforts.
Yeah, yeah. Because if you've never seen them before, it may just seem legitimate. After a while, you kind of get used to that kind of stuff and you just know, don't click. But if, you know, you haven't seen it before, and it's easy to fall for that. So they're getting more sophisticated all the time, that's for sure.
Well, certainly with AI too, they are. They're getting smarter, they're getting, you know, they're learning which ways people are actually clicking through and then expanding on those efforts. Yeah. So yeah, right. a lot that's going on there. So yeah, we're making sure we don't go fishing here.
Yes, exactly.
All right, I'll toss it on back your way, Rosh.
Sure. I want to talk about testing and the importance of testing. And a lot of times we set up our website or our socials and don't test anything. We just do what we do and not really pay attention to what works and what does not. And if you're really going to be successful, even on your website, even your about page or your contact page, you can A/B test these. And an A/B test is basically serving half of your page, you know, one version of your page to half your visitors, and then a different version to the other half. And you can see the engagement as well as, you know, conversions, if that's something that you have on your website, how many people fill out the form using this call to action, pricing, follow up, the way you follow up, test everything, even in quotes, real world. You know, test when you're networking, which statement gets the most attention, what way to approach. You know, are you better off just asking a lot of questions about them, their favorite subject, and then coming around to you? Are you better making a statement and then going to them? You know, I mean, there's many ways to approach these things, and it's the same with everything you do. And I think, I mean, sometimes we've heard about in our marketing and our landing pages, if you've gotten that sophisticated A/B testing, but not taking it everywhere. Your social messages, testing different types of messages. What types of images do people respond to? And test it out and see. And so, as we've talked about before, so you can continue to do what works and double down on those things so you can continue to grow, kick those algorithms in. But again, it works online and offline. And in your emails, I mean, what headlines get people to respond, all that, every little thing. So I would recommend just take a step back and look at all the things that you do as part of your business and see what you can test and see how you can improve. Just little increased improvements here and there will make a difference. So there you go.
Yeah, little steps over time. Now, forgive me, I'm going to ask what I think might be a dumb question here.
Oh,
but
no.
Now, that A/B testing your website. Now, do you have the availability of programming your website so you kind of have two different versions of it, and whomever shows up, it gets delivered differently?
So there used to be a program from Google called Optimizer, and you could also do it through your analytics. And that was wonderful. That was a great way to go about it, and it would show you, you know, all the data and so forth. Now you're going to have to go to third party. And in some cases you have to pay. Some are free. And I can actually give you an idea of what the free one is in a few moments, but let me look that up maybe while you're chatting. Oh no, here's one that I've used, which is free, and it's VWO. And that one's worked out pretty well. And there are others out there which will allow you to show just a little change. It'll maybe you just change an image, or you just change a call to action, and you can see which one is working better over time. So it's a valuable tool. I was really bummed when Google started letting Optimizer go and then eventually just saying, hey, we're done with it. Hopefully something else will come in the future, because that's important. There are even things like you can test thumbnails, like for YouTube. If you use the tool TubeBuddy, they have that ability for their premium version to test thumbnails to get people to click. The rumor is next spring, and they've been talking about this for years, and it's been a request for years, but it looks like it finally may be happening next spring, where YouTube will offer this option automatically. So that's going to be nice in the future. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. There are a lot of ways to do it. Some platforms have it as part of their platform where you can test things. Some don't. So you'll have to just be a little creative, especially if you have the opportunity that you can switch imagery out easily. You could just pay attention without even using, you know, first 500 people, they saw this image. Second 500 people saw this image or this headline or whatever it may be. And then take a look at the metrics.
Yeah, that's great. I know since Facebook introduced that to us on the marketing side to be able to A/B test, you know, we do that for most of our ads. So that way, you know, let it use its brain to figure out which one's going to be best. But when you give it options, you have a chance to optimize. So that's great.
Exactly. So what do you got next?
All right. Well, to keep on the phishing trend, just to reiterate to people about email phishing, I mean, it's kind of the same thing as the Facebook, but people are trying to get to your email, where first and foremost, everyone, you know, should make sure their spam folder is working and that it's gathering most of these emails that come in. They're getting smarter to where they are trying to work their way through your, even what spam is catching. You know, just basic advice, obviously, if you're not sure about anything, never reply to it. When you reply to any sort of email, then they really verify that you have a real email, and the attacks will come on even more. If you're not sure about an email that's come in, just, you know, double check the source email of where it's coming from. Oftentimes you'll get a lot of, you know, like a period and then a little more, a few characters. And then, you know, the email won't be something normal like gmail.com or hotmail.com or something like that. To reiterate, with AI, these things are consistently getting smarter. They're getting better. They're getting more clever. So we need to consistently be more vigilant against them. They will very much be picking up on your goodwill. They'll try to tug at your heartstrings, just like on Facebook. There's one other big piece of advice to do is in your Gmail, if you look in your settings, you do have the option to no longer auto download like pictures that are in emails. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes there can be, really suspicious stuff, even in someone's email header. When you open someone's email, you'll automatically download what their email header is. And if you do that from a non-trusted email, you could be inadvertently downloading something to your machine that you don't want to. So you can go through your settings, and that's one of the big ones we suggest, to turn off the auto download of any sort of images that are in the emails. And then lastly, I got hit by my first ever AI voice phone call.
Oh, really?
So yeah, I could tell that it wasn't a real voice, but my gosh, Rosh, it was close.
Yeah.
And if this technology, you know, to put it in terms of cars, if AI technology is at that of a Model T right now, I'm scared for when it starts to get to the Corvette.
And because it can answer your question. You can, you know, say something and then it'll respond with an answer. It's coming. That's going to come. You're going to find yourself in a conversation with that. You know, one of the things that I talk to my family about when it comes to emails, say, look, if you get an email from the bank, and they say you need to fix something or do something. So that's fine. It may be legitimate. Don't click on any of those links. Mm-hmm. Just go right to your bank account directly from the website or any kind of a product or service, even if it's Amazon and you know. I mean, as you mentioned, you can check where it came from, and that's helpful, but it's not foolproof. And so it is important to, okay, thank you for the information, whoever the company is that you engage with, but I'm not going to use the email. I'm going to go directly to the site, check in, because there's probably a message there if it's legitimate within my account. And that's the way I go. And that's how you can avoid a lot of those phishing scams. Absolutely. Yeah.
And they're going to try to get you at the things that scare you the most. Something's wrong with your bank. Something is wrong with, you know, someone in your family. And, you know, to go about the AI phone calls, now is a good time for everybody to talk with the loved ones in their family and people who are a little bit older about specific things that we would say in these situations, mm-hmm. because the second we answer a phone call, these AIs can analyze our voice and recreate our voice in a phone call and try to trick some of our loved ones.
Well, that's why sometimes you hear them say, "Hey, can you hear me?" I mean, that's a big one. You know, you'll hear that and you just don't respond. Yes. You know, if you hear that, "Oh, okay, this is so-and-so, can you hear me, you know, clearly?" Or just don't respond. Yeah. It's like, no.
But, yeah. So they
don't even say no, just nothing. Hang up.
Right. Yeah. That's oftentimes if I'm not sure of a number, obviously I won't answer it, but sometimes I'll just sit there and be quiet. And if I don't reply, it'll hang up because they're not getting what they're looking for. But yeah, talk to your you know, older loved ones and have certain code words of certain things that you would say in this situation. You know, have them have a certain question that they would ask you that only you would know, that, you know, electronically can't be dialed back to anything and the AIs can't figure it out based on your electronic footprint. So, you know, now is the time to start defending against these types of scams because they're getting, unfortunately, they're getting smarter with artificial intelligence. So we need to be smarter on our end to prevent it. So, all right, I'll throw it back to you.
All right. So there was a promise, a great promise for creatives, and that was the NFT. And you say, what's an NFT? Because we haven't heard about anything like that in 2-3 years now, right? No, but there was something specific for creatives within the NFT, and that was the ability to continue to make money from your work after it was sold. You know, if you paint and you sell it to somebody and they sell it again, you don't get a cut. But the NFT, the idea is that the tracking ability, that you would get a percentage as it was sold and resold and resold as the creator of that NFT. Well, that's going away. That promise has been pulled back, specifically by OpenSea, who is one of the biggest NFT providers. And starting in March of 2024, it'll only be like a tip. Like, you have the option to give to the original creator. So there's some value there, but it's not automatic. And that's a bummer. That's a bummer. That was a big promise and a big up. Now, obviously, the whole NFT world has had its own issues as a whole, but just like many things, you know, I often refer back to Google Wave. You know, it was to be this big thing, this real time thing, social media, and you know, it didn't go anywhere. There are some problems with it, but we have that technology came about and is now in our Google Docs. I mean, being able to write at the same time together came from that Google Wave technology. And so this technology will develop into other things. But I am sad to see that they pulled that part of it so soon. So what a bummer as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, that's because for creatives, that was a big thing. That was a big issue. But it's not dead all the way in the sense of the technology is there. Maybe we'll find new ways and maybe somebody else will step up to the plate with a better idea and a better approach to the NFT technology and blockchain ideas.
Okay. Yeah. It's frustrating to hear in a time where, you know, to go back to AI again, that these, you know, creatives and artists are struggling a little bit right now because they're seeing that, you know, potentially losing some income to some of these automated programs. So to lose another income source is a little frustrating for sure.
Yeah. Or even the promise of. So, yeah. All right. So what do you got?
All right. So my question for you, sometimes I feel like on this podcast, we hit some topics that are, you know, a little, you know, kind of high up in the sky. So I want to go down to, you know, base level. What is your best advice for the creative entrepreneur who is just getting started with the world of Google Analytics? What's like the first thing you're looking for, first way to kind of push the needle and use Google Analytics to your advantage as a creative entrepreneur?
That's a great question. And, you know, honestly, with the new G4, I'm still struggling with it because it will present itself in different ways based on the goals in which you give it. So I have one client where I've set up the analytics, and then I get a certain set of data, and then I set it up for another client. Then I get a different set of data and approach. I'm learning. I'm really digging in. But learn and understand. I think the best is to, one, understand what is it you want out of Google Analytics. That's the number one thing. What do you want? Why are you even putting it in there? And not just because they say you have to, or that's standard, or maybe you'll want it down the road. That's possible. And that, even if you don't, you probably should, I guess. But in terms of how you set it up, and in terms of why you go in there to look at the data, you know, what is it that you want to know? And then search for that. Maybe you can look at YouTube and just put in that question. How do I find this in Google Analytics? There is so much there. These days, it's event-based.
Pardon? Yeah. It's a great advice with YouTube to go in there and just find all the tutorials that people have uploaded for step-by-step to get, you know, that way it doesn't feel so overwhelming. You can have someone else kind of drive.
Yeah, but even the full tutorials, which can be an hour, 2 hours, you know, that can be a little overwhelming. Just what is the specific question? Why? In other words, how many people came to my website? That's really all I want to know. Then find out where that is. You know, go to Google, go to YouTube, and then that's fine. Now, okay, now I've had it. How about compared to last year? Okay, then figure out how to do year over year. And then figure out the thing, because there is so much. And then if there are things in which analytics is not showing you, there's probably a way to develop it by creating an event specifically within analytics. And you'll have to learn how to do that. You'll have, it really is a different way of approaching analytics, the way they shifted this. But, you know, in some cases for good reason and some for bad, in my opinion, but ultimately that's what you have to do. So, but that recommendation is the one I've always given to people. And that is, understand why you're looking at it,
right,
and go from there, and don't worry about the rest. Because it's really, some of the stuff in there is designed for people who have totally different needs in different industries, and it just does not relate to you. Because there are so many different ways in which people use these analytics, right, that they're just trying to cover the basis. Just like Photoshop, you know, you think, oh, for photographers, actually, most of the people who use Photoshop are not photographers. And so there's a lot in there in Photoshop that has nothing to do with you. So you don't have to know every single thing in Photoshop. And the same thing with analytics.
Yeah, perfect advice, because, you know, it needs to have the tools and the availability to do a million things, and you really only need to do two or three things. So get through the noise and figure out which things matter the most to you and get good at those, and then just build over time.
Good. Okay, so a little bit of advice. An area that you may be familiar with, Google My Business, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's a standard. You want to put your business in there. It's helpful for SEO. But have you put Bing as part of your standard? Have you done Bing business listings?
No.
Probably not. And where do you go to do that? You go to bingplaces.com, and you can do the same thing, claim your business, and get all that information, and that link is valuable, and, you know, you're probably ahead of your competition, because chances are they haven't done it. Their business may be there just because the crawlers and they set it up automatically, but it hasn't been claimed and they haven't taken advantage of all the things that Bing can do for you to support, just like your Google My Business. So that's something I thought would be helpful for people as they're trying to grow their business. No, it's not as big as Google, but yes, it is highly valuable.
I like it. Yeah. I'm doing some more research on that, and it can help diversify a bit. You know, we create content that's, you know, pretty evergreen across most platforms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we're spending the time creating it, you know, really it's only going to be effective when it's properly applied. And this is a whole nother direction. So I'm going to do some research on that. Look at you. You're always helping me stay on the cutting edge, my friend.
I'm trying. Hey, so my question to you this week, last week you had a really interesting guest on the show, and he's a drone pilot. What did you learn about his business that was valuable for your business? And obviously you've known him for a while. So, you know, maybe it's something you learned a while ago, but what did you learn from him as an important thing to grow a creative business?
Awesome question, Rosh. And there's a two-part answer to this that, and first of all, you know, we talked about this a couple episodes. You mentioned it as one of your points as, you know, working with other people who already have the clients. So yeah, white labeling your work. And that's very much how Andres and I were able to kind of grow each other's business, is by crossing over in those kind of ways. You know, us being a social media agency, we already had a good amount of clients. And so we just went through the full list of my clients and decided, hey, which ones would benefit the most from a drone tour. And then I've already established the relationship with these people. So it makes a, you know, hey, a suggestion from me is much easier than, you know, Andres contacting my client out of the blue. So, you know, using those relationships that have already been forged and that trust that's already been created to then expand upon what it is that we are offering. So I've learned definitely from him that, you know, we need to collectively use our efforts, you know, to use the trust that we've already established to then expand our business's reach. And, you know, also Andres is a bit younger than me. So it's fun watching the way that he uses some of the social media tools that maybe younger people use a little more to talk about what's going on with his business. Now, forever, I always felt like with my social media company that we would be kind of behind the scenes. I didn't want to brag about, you know, what we were doing and who we were doing it with. But when it came to Andres's company, you know, every day I'd see a new story of him being on site at U of M or him being, you know, there with the Detroit Pistons. And I would know what was going on with his business and able to share it because he was really good about using stories and reels. Whereas, you know, the traditional social media channels, you know, posting on different pages to stuff like that, it's not as effective as sharing what's happening in real time with these legit stories. So right. I was able to learn a lot from him in that kind of way and then change, you know, how we promote our company. You know, I'm actually now bragging about the things we're doing at Great Scott, you know, on our socials and letting people know, you know, what we're capable of. Yeah. So, I was definitely able to learn a lot from him, and I hope he's been able to learn a lot from me. And, we're definitely, you know, both talking about taking kind of those next steps together and kind of, you know, forging our businesses together to grow overall. So yeah, it's really been the community that we've been able to establish and, put together. So yeah, I appreciate you asking that, but yeah, it's been very, very valuable information I've learned.
Good. And if you have not heard the last show, it's the last show. So after you done listening to this show, go check out the last show. And that is the end of this show. And as always, it's great talking with you, Brian. Until next week.
We're going to keep sharing some great information with everybody. And again, you know, we really encourage any questions, comments. If anybody has a request to be a guest, you know, send us a message. Hop on over to our website, creativeentrepreneurshow.com.
You got it. Good job.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Talk to you next time.